We are on the radio, and I'm Megan.
And I am Alice.
And we talk about video games.
Wow.
Was that too high strung?
No.
This early in the morning?
No.
So we like to play a lot of video games. We talk a lot of video games. And this is probably our third week playing BioShock.
Okay, third week playing BioShock.
Look, I didn't get a chance to play these games before, and now yeah. I am, I've beaten BioShock 2.
Okay, and well, now you beat 1 and 2.
I beat 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because you didn't just pop into 2.
I didn't know. Well, last week I announced that I'd beat number 1. Now I've got number 2 under my belt, and now I've started Infinite. And I am enjoying all of it. Not sure how I feel about Infinite's world quite yet. I'm still quite at the beginning, but the gameplay is pretty much the same, and I'm having fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I can say about these games, as they are very easy to pick up and a lot of fun to play.
Yeah.
And you don't really, even for someone with me who misses a lot of small details, it's actually not that hard to get all the information and tools you need to go further.
Well, yeah, it's not a game that is, like, it literally has a hint system, and for BioShock Infinite, it has, like, shows you where to go. Actually, both show you where to go, like, have a compass and somewhat of a map. Like, I would say BioShock Infinite's map I don't use. I don't know how to use it. Mostly because it seems like whenever they did the port, they haven't updated or the remastered versions to something that will be, like, I feel acceptable for text size, because they still don't do this. They have the thing where they have these things called Vox phones, and in the BioShocks 1 and 2, they have, what are they called? They're like little...
Records. They're tape players.
Yeah. I don't... Anyways, they're called something very specific in BioShock Infinite. And the text in both is unavailable. Like, when you are listening to either of these recordings, the text will not be... There's no subtitles available for me to read this text. It does apparently have it in... You can go read it, the transcript, which I'm not about that. Like, if I'm going to read it, I'm going to read it as I'm walking along with my little guy. Yeah. So, and it has it neither of these. Like, I think... At least, I feel in BioShock 2, they made the text bigger than in BioShock 1. And then in Infinite, they made it really small again.
It's so tiny again, and it's very hard for me to read things. Like, we're not that far from the TV. There should be, like, no issue with me reading.
No, it's small. And I knew when I loaded it up, I was like, oh, no, is that the size of the text? Uh-oh, I am going to have to wear my glasses for this game, which is fine, but it's just... It is a little bit of a hindrance, and the fact is you cannot make the text bigger. Like, that's the size. And the thing is, it wouldn't really obstruct much. Like, you have a pretty big field of vision for these games. BioShock 2 definitely have less, because you play as a big daddy in one of those.
But with the helmet kind of framing everything.
Yeah. And there is some obfuscation. There we go.
Obfuscation?
Thank you. Of, you know, your vision in, I would say, 2 specifically. The other one's not so much, but I'm just saying there could definitely be room for larger subtitles, because there is a lot of text in this game, and even so fact is you can sort of scroll over, view over stuff, and it will pop up, you know, signs or little whatevers. I would appreciate it a lot more if it was bigger, but obviously this is already like a quote-unquote remaster, recollection, whatever. So they're not going to do that. It's especially not for the like PlayStation or the Xbox versions. Yeah.
Which we now have both, because the weird thing about the BioShock collection to download is it came in 2 separate files, and it did not let me do the 2 separate file downloads. I had to go online
via your app.
Which is how I get most of my stuff, because I want to make sure that I download it right away and it's ready for me to play when I get home.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we also picked up a couple other games while we were out and about, aside from BioShock Infinite, which we now have the physical copy of. We went and found Dragon Age Origins, the 2 discs, and now we have Resident Evil 6 to play as well.
Well, okay.
2 games that we have been promising to play for a bit.
Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age Awakening, because you're talking 2 discs. It doesn't have 2 discs. It's 2 separate games.
two games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm actually pretty stoked to play Dragon Age Origins again because, again, when I started playing, I would have loved to have kept playing, except my computer did not want me to do that thing.
Yeah.
So, and that's probably going to be my game project for the week. And then you and I are going to play Resident Evil 6 because that's a two-player game.
Yes.
And scare the bejesus out of ourselves.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, maybe, well, we'll see. Like, we'll see. I feel very much more confident in my first-person shooter skills than I did when I first played that game. I don't think it's a hard game, though. Like, Resident Evil 6, I think it's sort of, it's not a survival horror in the way that Resident Evil's before it were. Like, 5 stepped it up into the action adventure, and then 6 took away most of the survival horror aspect of it.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
So there's still zombies?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, you know, there's zombies. Once again, it is a Resident Evil game. There's zombies, but once again, it's a little less on, like, you're conserving stuff and more like you're just running through and shooting stuff. It's not bad. It's just I have a bias that I really like the characters and the story in this, even though it's ultimately not a great Resident Evil.
If we can get through 6, then we will make sure we go and pick up 7 again, just to have it and to try it again.
It's so funny because, like, 7, like, they're almost entirely different in terms of, like, gameplay and even just in con, like, it. Resident Evil 7 is so much more of a scary game in every way and so much more of a survival horror than Resident Evil 6. Which is fine. Once again, I'm biased and I like 6. I have fond memories of it. But I recognize that, you know, there's lots of not great things about it. That's fine.
We'll do both, just as a comparison, probably. And that would mean that I think we'd have just about every Resident Evil game accessible to us now, huh?
Yeah, that we're not going to play. We don't have 2. Even though I'd like to play it, but I really don't think I could. Like, there's part of me that's like, oh, yeah, I love Resident Evil. It's so neat, so fun. But then I'd just be like, every scary noise, every little creak, I would just be like, okay, I can last about, you know, good half hour, and then I can't play anymore. If I had an invincibility, like, the only reason I was able to beat this one scary X-Files game that had zombies was because I knew the cheat codes. And I was able to put those in, and I had, like, either unlimited bullets or invincibility. So if I had one of those two Resident Evil 2, I would do that because I'm a weenie child.
I feel like we can find some actual legit cheat codes.
Not for PlayStation 4. That's not how it works.
I feel like we've lost something integral to the whole gaming thing by taking that away from us, guys.
To give us like, back cheat codes.
Give us back cheat codes.
I guess, yeah, it is interesting that cheat codes, like, speaking of that, they've kind of died in a little way.
Yeah.
Like, because people can now make their own cheat codes. Like, I guess back in the day,
mods now.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, there was, like, well, Game Shark was probably the most popular one where you could literally, and that was hacking your game. It was what it was. And I think it did maybe void the warranty on certain things, probably.
I'm not sure if Game Shark did that. I'm not sure. Well,
I would assume there is some kind of, like, maybe they hadn't, made a rule for that yet, sort of thing. So they were just like, we're just going to do it and you can't say no because no one said no yet.
Well, we also do have in our possession a Game Genie, which is the original way of cheat coding things. Because they used to actually issue giant books filled with codes that you could input. And this is, I think, a lot of the way, probably
tips
the only way.
Tricks.
Yeah, the only way a lot of us could beat ridiculously hard games before we got good.
Yeah, well, back in the day, or if you had access to one of those. Like, I only ever had access to the books. Like, there would be books that would just have every cheat code in it that you could input into video game. Like, at one point in time, you know, video games had a section where you could input cheats, or it was a screen and you could put in certain buttons and it would, you know, put into the cheat code. What is this? Banjo-Kazooie and, like, I think Conker's Bad Fur Day. Like, Rare does this.
Rare does this, and they actually did that for the original Donkey Kong Country games on the Super Nintendo, where if you input a certain number, you could go to, like, any of the special bonus levels to stock up before starting your game, or just to play them and know what they are, because some of us weren't very good at collecting things in these games.
Well, and just, like, sometimes you could never get to one area, especially, like, once again, I played Donkey Kong 2 with you, and didn't have fun, would have loved invincibility. I get it. I get why people like it, but I'm just bad at that kind of game, and I don't want to.
If I set up the Super Nintendo again and find the cheat code so that there's invincibility for you.
Okay, yes. Then I was like, we're sweetened the deal with invincibility. Yes.
But yes, the original Game Genie and Game Sharks were a very important part of enjoying your games. There was always like two or three people back when I played Pokemon that had Game Sharks for the Game Boy, and it was the only way you could complete your collection or even get Mew into your party. So
was it if you didn't have friends? Is it right? If you couldn't trade with people?
Well, yeah.
If you didn't have friends. We'll put it that way.
There was a whole group of us that would play Pokemon, and, you know, we just share the Game Shark amongst us all because we're all emotionally attached to our Pokemon, too.
We didn't want to trade them away. That's understandable.
So that was how I got 151 my first time playing.
And never traded with a person.
I did.
Okay.
On occasion.
And
we all knew how to do the surfing trick where you could get like infinite rare candy. So we were all fighting like level 100 Snorlaxes against each other.
Nice.
It's
one I fondly remember cheat codes for dark black metal. What are they called? The ones with the mean cars.
With the clown?
Yeah.
I know which one you're talking about.
Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal.
I'm like, it's something about metal. And then there is Twisted Metal Black, which was like, I think the PlayStation 2 one. But I remember like very fondly the passwords for those because they were very funny words.
How you get like funny effects on your cars too, wasn't it?
Yeah, big head mode and stuff and... Yeah, obviously now there are mods for this, like if you have PCs, like, and even some console games do have, I guess, accessories or whatever that you can add, but it really isn't the same thing as cheat codes or passwords or whatever.
Like, DLC is not cheat codes. DLC is just, you know, paying the extra money for some added advantage, if that's what they can grant you with a DLC.
Yeah, you wonder if cheat codes are sort of gone because there's sort of like, well, there's things like speed running or competitive stuff, like... And I know in competitions and even in speedrunning, there are different, like, categories and things, but it's just sort of, it's interesting that lots of that is just, it's really gone out of video games now. Like, there are passwords, but I guess there's in some cases where we don't need a password for levels after we die, right? Like, we have enough memory on our games that it knows when we died.
Yeah, so that kind of takes out a big old chunk of the fun because...
Terror.
Yes.
What if it, like, I'm just thinking of, like, in specifically in, like, the Aladdin games, when you die, there's a pass, or for every level, there's a password, and it's like, you know, like, the character is like Genie, Jafar, Abu, Aladdin, you know, and you have to remember that for each level. So, what if you forget, or what if you mess up? What if you, anyways?
That's one of the things I used to do. You remember Echo the Dolphin for the Sega Genesis?
Yes.
And it had that system where you could put in any code. And I'm pretty sure that I've done some weird stuff where it put me into some unwinnable levels by putting in random code.
Yeah. It's sort of how they would do it back in the day, right? Like, that's how they would generate levels. And that's how they do for, like, roguelikes now, right? They're all generated based on sort of a numerical code, and if you want to do a certain level, you can put in that code.
If you didn't have save states on your game, this is how you bypass that. The downside is anything you collected along the way probably wouldn't come with you.
It is interesting that cheat codes are kind of gone.
Dang.
Kind of dead.
You know what? I think I gotta do some research after this, cause there's gotta be somebody out there who still does some
like some specific. I would assume, but I feel it's a little bit of maybe a nostalgic thing now, which is whatever.
Well, we see references to the Konami code all the time.
Yeah, yeah, but Konami's also like Konami doesn't make video games anymore. Konami makes pachinko machines now.
I wonder if I put in the Konami code on a pachinko machine or a casino machine.
When you win. That would be really cool.
Code. Yeah. Oh, now I got to go and play the Castlevania game.
And just put the Konami code in and see if you win.
That's how I'm going to pay for rent next month, guys.
Wow.
So, yeah. I guess we're on a bit of a tangent there.
Well, no. Well, here, let's talk about... You finished talking about... Tell me how you felt about Bioshock 2 in terms of... Compared to Bioshock 1. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. Going back to Bioshock 2. Bioshock 2 was more fun to play, but the story was not nearly as satisfying, in my opinion.
Okay, why? Obviously, this is going to be spoilers for Bioshock. Bioshock came out, 2007 is when the first one came out, and I feel the second one came out pretty soon after. Bioshock Infinite didn't come out until 2013, I believe, though.
I guess it's not fair to say it wasn't as satisfying, but after playing the first game, you can kind of see where the twists are going to be.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And, if you got the good ending in Bioshock, you kind of had that good little finish there, and then you know you can do the same thing in the second game, but there's something about the impact that wasn't there for me.
It wasn't the same.
It wasn't quite the same.
Yeah, no, that's legit. I really like Bioshock 2, and I can't remember why I was really into it so far that I wasn't able to play it, but I have when it was available, I wasn't able to play it, but I bought the guidebook for it, so we have the guidebook for it, which is kind of funny.
Is it fair to say that I like the characters of 2 more, just maybe not so much the ending?
That's legit. I feel in 2, it gives you a little bit more chance to flesh them out, as well as your character is almost more fleshed out. He's not as much as the everyman, even though I would say the main character of Bioshock 1 is pretty interesting and important, but at the same time, there's not a lot of dialogue at all, you know?
Maybe that's what it was, is that there was such a minimal way of, like, you were shown the story, not so much told the story.
Yeah.
But, no, it was an excellent game. I still highly recommend it to anybody who wants to pick it up because it was just...
It's fun.
It is a... This is such a fun series.
It is fun. I was like... I want unfortunate. More of it. Yeah, I guess. Like, and here's the thing. As someone who does really... I really do like Bioshock, and I'm like as replaying Bioshock Infinite because that was the one that I really, really, really liked. And so much that I have multiple merchandise items for this game, and I just sort of forgot about that I really liked it. But I feel that Bioshock Infinite could not get away with some of the things that are in it today, which is kind of weird in retrospect because that was just like, 7 years ago-ish? But there is some not great content in it that is really blatant. And I get it that it's supposed to be, like, purposeful, and it's supposed to be of its era. Like, Bioshock Infinite takes place in 1918, I believe, something around then.
Just after the First Great War.
Yeah. Yes. That would make
quotation
sense.
Marks.
Yeah.
It's before the 20s got all the flappers, and it's still, like, Georgian fashion.
Yeah, a little bit inspired. Well, I would say also the fact that the world that you're in is in the 1918s, but also you are in a world that has been sort of taken away from the rest of the world. Like, you're in this place called Columbia, which is a city in the sky, which is obviously a very inverted Bioshock, right? You got city in the water, city in the sky, wowie.
Now we just need a city on the land.
Yeah, what? Just regular shock.
Oh, no. It is very...
awkward, I would say. Or just, like, it's not great. Like, which is, once again, it's too bad because I really like Bioshock Infinite. I think it has a lot of really great moments. But then it also really hardcore tries to both sides the situation, when the situation is not a both sides at all. For example, there's Comstock, who is sort of the main antagonist of this game, and he's sort of a very religious, I don't know.
Zealot.
Yeah, that's the word.
A messiah of sorts.
Yes,
but,
he calls himself a prophet, yes. And he believes, you know, that he is doing the will of God by having this city in the sky and by being this cool guy. There is a uprising, a rebellion against him called the Vox Populi, which I literally think is just means the people.
Voice of the people, I think.
There you go. Yeah. Which is they're lower class. They're people who have been subject to, like, experiments, torture,
segregation, and racism plays a lot in this.
Yes,
and
that's hardcore. And that's the worst part, is because the main lady of the rebellion is a female black woman named Daisy Fitzroy, and it hardcore tries to paint her as the same sort of villain that Comstock is, where
there should be no comparison.
No.
Bottom line, there really should not be any comparison.
No, and so as far as, like, Daisy is killed, and she is sort of seen as, like, what she was doing was just as bad. And it's not great because, like, taking all of the historical references, you know, in hand, it doesn't make sense. It's not great. The both sides doesn't work, especially in this game, where we've already been shown that racism is a thing. There's segregation. Like, there are literally, quote-unquote, colored and Irish washrooms, I believe. Like, so it is a world that is full of segregation. So when, you know, I just feel that they should have known better. Like, and that was the one thing about Bioshock Infinite that really turned me off, despite how much I loved most of it, was this one. This, and it's a pretty big part of it, because the fight, or the Vox Populi, do sort of become antagonists against you as the game goes on, and whereas at first they were sort of with you, because you're all trying to get out of this situation because Comstock's not a good guy. So yeah, that was one thing that really disappointed me. And once again, playing it again, it's so blatant and it's really upsetting, and just things that I missed the first time around, and I'm just like, oh boy, like, I just feel
it could have been handled way more tasteful.
Yes, or, well, just there are things that could have been entirely cut or changed to make it so that, like, Daisy is a very sympathetic character and she's, like, trying to do her best for the people of Columbia, whereas Comstock is looking out for himself and his followers. So there very easily could have been some sort of, like, better resolution to this. I will say there is DLC, and we'll see how that, because I feel the DLC very much wraps up Bioshock Infinite and its connection to the other Bioshocks, because it is sort of only teased, hinted at in Bioshock Infinite. But yeah, I just feel, considering the fact that so much other stuff is treated with such care in this game, that, you know, the blatant racism is really not great.
No.
Like, it isn't treated with care or compassion or, like, an understanding. That's what I'm getting at. Once again, I like a lot of this game. I think it's pretty good. But that is sort of a real big thorn in the side of Bioshock Infinite. And
it leaves a very bad taste in the mouth. And I was like, yeah, what game am I playing?
I know, yeah. Especially just, like, some of the things that some of the characters say, and you're just like, excuse me? And some of the imagery is just, like, it's very blatant. And you're just like, oh, cool. Like, we're racist against everybody in this game, apparently. And I get it. I get the time period. Like, we're at a time where John Wilkes Booth is also, he's celebrated as a hero for killing Lincoln, I believe. You know,
it really warps history.
Yeah, and that's fine. Once again, there are things that are, like, totally, if as long as you demonize them properly, like, if you be like, yeah, that guy's bad because that wasn't good, that wasn't cool, like, as long as you have that acknowledgement or understanding, at least. And once again, it's there to a degree, but at the same time, you also have choice. It gives you the choice to make the good choice, I guess, right? Mm. Which I don't like. Anyway, I still like Bioshock Infinite. I'll play the DLC because I love Elizabeth. I think she's a really interesting character, but you know, I'm just a little disappointed. That's probably how I feel when I first played it.
Yeah, for fun, I just started off with the DLC, and I was having a lot of fun, and then I got myself into the main game because, honestly, I just wanted to see.
Isn't it interesting that, like, there probably is, and there is racism in the first Bioshocks, but it feels, like, way less blatant.
It's subtly hinted at the time that these are supposed to take place. It's still a thing they're trying to fight against. It's not, like, a very blatant, this is our position in the world, and this is what we have to deal with and fight
against.
There
is a lot of, like, nationalistic imagery in Bioshock Infinite. Once again, it is supposed to be taken as bad, but at the same time, it both sides the situation, so we don't know.
It's like if someone took Far Cry 5 and mashed it in Bioshock and decided this was a game that was okay to put out there.
Yeah.
And with,
I was like, Far Cry is just...
Far Cry 5.
Once again, Far Cry, that was the worst ending. That was the worst ending you could have possibly had. And I'm just so disappointed with how
that happened.
Yep.
But, yeah.
I love you, but why did you do this? You know you're my favorite first-person shooter.
They're still fun to play. I'll still play 4 when I need something just to shut my brain down on.
Oh, boy.
But for now, I've got other games to play and more games coming out because I got to get that Persona 5 at the end of the next month.
Yeah, Persona 5.
It's coming out. I got Dragon Age to play. I
feel I'm finished with Dragon. I'll start Resident Evil 6. Once I feel, but there's a million games that I have to play, but once again, I'm stuck in my loop of I gotta do other stuff.
And also because Castlevania TV series continues next month.
Yeah, I was also going to talk about that.
I should probably see if I can't find any of the Castlevania games to play, too.
Yeah, we don't talk about TV here, but the Castlevania TV series is legitimately made me interested in the video game. Where I had no interest, I will tell you that. I didn't care. I knew it was about vampires and it was hard. But now I care.
And it's fun. It's hard, but it is fun.
Sure.
Well.
I believe you.
You should, because
People
still play it.
People play it.
There was an anniversary edition last year that we should have picked up that we haven't yet.
We'll do that.
Shame on us.
Nah.
So that's everything we got for you for this week. Bioshock. It's good. Take Infinite with a grain of salt. We want cheat codes back.
Yeah, bring me back cheat codes. Yeah. I would like it.
Oh, man. Now I got to do some research and see if any of them still exist.
Where are you?
Where are you, cheat codes? I'm going to find you, and I'm going to use you. Wow. All right. That's everything we got for you for this week. Keep slacking.
Bye.